观众朋友们，大家好，今天是7月18号，星期六，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国、英国还有加拿大的情报部门警告说，俄罗斯黑客正在试图窃取各国新冠疫苗的资料。对此，白宫表示已经知情，并且正在和盟友合作。此外，美国每日新增的感染数创下新高。来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
7月16号星期四，美国、英国以及加拿大的情报部门同时发出了警告，说俄罗斯的黑客组织 APT29 正在试图窃取各国研发新冠病毒疫苗的资料。这个 APT29 的黑客组织呢，又被昵称为舒适熊。那么曾经在2016年的美国总统大选当中，黑进民主党的资料库当中窃取资料来干预美国的大选。那么在星期四的白宫新闻简报会上呢，白宫发言人麦肯纳尼表示说，白宫已经知道了这个黑客的活动。我们看一下麦肯纳尼在白宫是怎么说的。
Is that we worked very closely with our allies to ensure that we would take measures to keep that information safe, and we continue to do so, and we're aware of those activities.
此外，美国司法部长巴尔星期四在密西根州的福特博物馆发表讲话的时候也表示呢，现在中国方面的黑客也正在试图窃取美国的疫苗研发资料。截至美国时间7月17号的星期五中午为止呢，美国境内感染了新冠病毒的人数突破了353万4千人，而死亡人数也逼近了13万9千人。星期四呢，更出现了一日之内确诊人数超过7万7000人的创纪录的数字。当中疫情严重的佛罗里达州一天就出现超过11000多人确诊，128人死亡。那么在7月16号的白宫新闻简报会上呢，记者询问了特朗普政府坚持全美国学校都要在下个月开学，而老师跟学生都要回到教室当中上课这样的政策。不过呢，白宫对于担忧疫情的老师跟家长们有什么话要说？对此呢，白宫发言人麦肯纳尼是这样说的。
Yeah, the president has said unmistakably that he wants schools to open. And I was just in the Oval talking to him about that. And when he says open, he means open and full, kids being able to attend each and every day at their school. The science should not stand in the way of this. And as Dr. Scott Atlas said, I thought this was a good quote. Of course we can do it. Everyone else in the Western world, our peer nations are doing it. We are the outlier here.
美国疾管中心 CDC 那么也做出一个新的预测，在7月15号呢，根据最新的疫情预测到8月8号为止，美国因为新冠病毒死亡的人数将介于15万人到17万人之间。那么4月1号呢，白宫新型冠状病毒工作小组预测，如果每一个人都能保持100%的防疫措施，包括戴口罩、保持社交距离等等，美国因为新冠疫情而死亡的人数最后只会介于10万人到24万人之间。不过呢，当时全美确诊人数只有21万人。那么美国国立过敏与传染病研究所所长福奇医生呢，在星期五的时候也表示说，现在还不到讨论第二波疫情的时候，因为美国现在连第一波疫情都还没有走出来。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
美国总统科学顾问指出，中国的剽窃行为直接威胁到了美国的科研还有国家安全，美国政府已经采取严格的措施。
美国总统科学顾问、白宫科学技术政策办公室主任德罗格迈尔16号在福克斯新闻网站刊登署名文章说，中共引用部分美国科研人员通过不正当手段秘密转移或剽窃联邦政府资助的科研成果和知识产权。文章指出，中共过去几十年中开展了200多项人才招募计划，在全球范围内至少招募了7000名高端专业人才。文章说，特朗普政府已经采取果断措施保护美国的科研安全。白宫科学技术政策办公室过去一年中带领美国研究社区对抗上述威胁，确保美国继续维持创新的领先地位。
由美国海军“尼米兹号”还有“里根号”组成的双航母战斗群，本周五重返南中国海，再次进入这一高度具有主权争议的海域。
由美国海军“尼米兹号”和“里根号”航空母舰组成的双航母战斗群，星期五重返南中国海。这两支舰队上次进入这一水域执行任务是在7月4日至6日。美国海军太平洋舰队7月17日宣布了这一消息。两支航母舰队共有12000多名军人，搭载着120多架舰载机。美国海军表示， 训练的目的是保持航母舰队保持最佳战斗状态，确保在发生意外情况时能够做出及时反应，进行力量投送。南中国海是一个主权争议很大的海域，本月早些时候，中国在这里举行军事演习，引起了越南、菲律宾等国的强烈反应。与此同时，美军双航母打击群也进入这一水域，进行美国海军所说的原定的军事演习。美国之音新闻报道。
美国和英国的外长最近一起讨论了第五代通信网络建设的问题，并且表示愿意一起努力，共同建设值得信赖的 5G 网络。美国国务卿蓬佩奥与英国外长大臣拉布通话，两人在通话中谈到了英国决定停止使用不安全的 5G 技术。星期二，英国宣布全面禁止中国华为参与英国的 5G 网络建设，这项决定立即受到了美国政府和国会的欢迎。蓬佩奥星期三说，他在下星期访问英国和丹麦期间，会将中国共产党及其对世界各地自由的人民构成的威胁作为与有关官员讨论的首要议题，并且继续推动盟友和伙伴国禁用华为的设备还有技术。他说，他已经跟印度外长就使用中国电信设备和技术的风险有了良好的沟通。印度媒体报道说，新德里可能会效仿伦敦的做法，不再允许中国的公司参与 5G 电信网络建设。白宫经济顾问库德洛周四表示，他预计抖音的海外版 TikTok 将从其中国的母公司字节跳动中分离出来，他认为这是比禁止该软件更好的选择。此外， TikTok 的美国籍 CEO 最近上任，外界普遍认为这位新的 CEO 最重要的任务之一就是缓解美国政界对其国家安全威胁的担忧。不过，外界的分析人士对这位新任的 CEO 能否达到这一任务表示怀疑。
58岁的前迪士尼流媒体负责人凯文·梅尔6月1日正式上任为总部设在北京的字节跳动的首席运营长以及旗下 TikTok 的首席执行长。他1993年进入迪士尼工作，以完成重大交易而闻名。根据 TikTok 网站5月18号发布的新闻稿，作为字节跳动的首席运营长，梅尔将直接向公司创办人张一鸣汇报。梅尔将主导字节跳动在中国以外的全球发展，除了负责领导 TikTok 之外，还将主导字节跳动的企业发展、销售、市场、公共事务、安全、法务等。但是 TikTok 在保护用户隐私和是否对美国国家安全造成威胁方面一直饱受争议。美国国会两名参议员乔什·霍利和里克·斯科特在今年3月提出议案，要求禁止联邦雇员在政府配发的手机上安装 TikTok， 担心 TikTok 收集美国用户信息并与中国政府分享，有可能损害美国的国家安全。参议员霍利在推特上表示，这名新高管居住在美国，我期待听到他到国会宣誓作证。对于梅尔上任后是否将使 TikTok 的运营模式更符合美国企业的规范，缓解美国政府和公众对于该应用软件的顾虑，分析人士并不乐观。
It could go either way. He could end up being a puppet. He could end up really just doing the bidding of ByteDance. But it could also be thatBecause he comes from such a high position in Disney, because the ambitions and vision of TikTok are so high that ByteDance really listens to him and takes his input and augments its strategy.
When I think about the risks of, you know, downloading or using these apps from China, it's that we're looking at risk. And by risk, it's the risk of the CCP saying, you know, let's break glass in case of emergency.And it's in those instances where they might look at their national intelligence laws and ask companies for data. And so, you know, while you might have someone who's familiar with the U.S. and might, you know, make the app a little bit friendlier, be able to communicate with lawmakers, there's still that risk in the background.
当前新冠病毒肆虐的情况下，美中关系紧张，两位专家都认为，即使 TikTok 雇佣美籍高管，也不足以缓解这种紧张关系。
I think especially in the current political environment, you have lawmakers competing over how hawkish they want to be on China. You have a series of emerging escalations, in our foreign policy, that I think it's going to take much more than one personnel change. Actually, they're doing a lot of hiring, but it'll take more than a little bit of personnel change to improve TikTok's reputation in the U.S.
It may have worked in the past, but it's not going to work the same way now because post-COVID, the relationship between U.S. and China has changed so dramatically. And because technology is now driving geopolitics, a company like TikTok and all Chinese technology companies are really going to be in the crosshairs of the U.S. government.
美国之音记者魏之采访报道。
美国职业篮球联盟 NBA 因为不出售带有香港字样的球衣而再度受到了抨击。 NBA 的官网及其合作网站已经将该产品下架。
7月12日，美国一名 NBA 球迷在推特上通过视频展示一家与 NBA 官方合作的球衣个性定制网站竞卖印上解放香港字样的球衣。经两位美国知名体育记者的转发和亲测，事情不断发酵。7月14日上午，美国之音记者上该网站检测，发现“解放香港”的字样已被允许印上球衣。同天，美国前众议院议长纽特·金里奇的推文也证实了这一变化。他说：“要不是两名体育记者曝光此事，恐怕 NBA 还在限制这家电商网站不许球迷定制印有‘解放香港’字样的球衣。”负责 NBA 定制网站的 Fanatics 公司原本表示，无法订购解放香港球衣是因为技术上的失误，但7月16日 NBA 再次改变决定，禁用了个性化功能，消费者无法订购 NBA 个性化球衣。就在此事被曝光的数天之前，密苏里州参议员乔什·霍利已把 NBA 的球衣话题推到了镁光灯下。随着美国国内反种族歧视运动的高涨， NBA 最近决定允许球员在球衣背面印上社会正义相关的标语。上周五，霍利参议员致信 NBA 总裁肖华，他批评被 NBA 批准的标语中对中共受害者的声援赫然缺席。他说，某些口号被允许，某些口号不被允许，这和中共的审查挺像。你们在口号上所做的决定本身就是对你们联盟价值观的展示。请允许你们的球员也可以声援维吾尔人和香港人，允许他们也可以声援美国执法部门，如果他们自己选择这么做。他在信中重提莫雷事件。去年十月，休斯顿火箭总经理莫雷发推文支持港人民主抗争，结果 NBA 遭中国举国抵制，承受数亿美元损失。霍利批评 NBA 在此事件上臣服于中共。他说，和一个以暴力压迫和奴役为统治工具的政权串通一气，再大数额的利润也没法成为这么做的正当理由。对此，政治风险杂志的出版商、国际战略分析师安德斯科尔博士表示，
It would be perverse to allow the Chinese Communist Party to determine through its influence on the NBA to determine what our players, our basketball players can say on their jerseys. Only the basketball players themselves really should have a right to determine, and they should have a free speech right, a full right to determine any message that they want to put on their jerseys, including, you know, support for the U.S. police, support for the military, support for Hong Kong, Uyghurs, Black Lives Matter, whatever they want to put on their jersey politically, as long within reason, should be allowed.
针对这类事件，科尔博士呼吁美国政府要完善相关立法。
We need stronger legal protections for employee free speech, first of all.Second, the government should require U.S. corporations to follow U.S. strategic interests wherever China or Russia or any of our enemies is pressuring them otherwise. We cannot compete with China on a global stage unless we at least match them on the toughness of their policies. Yes, that does catch U.S. corporations in the middle.But these laws will ultimately protect U.S. corporations and all of us from Chinese communist takeover.
美国之音记者张乐谷九岛报道。
中国官方的中央电视台在7月16日的一档打假节目上，将提供美国快餐的汉堡王公司点名曝光。
汉堡王在中国的分公司16日晚发表公开声明，对几家加盟店存在的管理问题向消费者表达歉意。 在央视周四举办的315晚会上，一些企业因生产制作过程违规、偷工减料或使用劣质材料等被曝光。根据曝光的内容，汉堡王在江西南昌的门店存在篡改面包、鸡腿排保质期标签、制作汉堡时偷工减料等违规行为。通用汽车与上海汽车集团股份有限公司组建的合资企业生产的两款汽车当天也被批评。消费者反映，宝骏汽车、五菱汽车变速箱经常发生故障。315晚会通常主要针对的是中国公司。汉堡王和通用汽车是今年315晚会曝光的仅有两家外国公司。
世界卫生组织最近警告说，各国如果不做好良好的卫生保健防御措施，新冠病毒大流行会变得更加严重。但是他也警告说，要遏制新冠病毒大流行，不能只靠封锁。
随着全球新冠病毒感染超过1300万，死亡人数超过50万，世界卫生组织敲响了新的警钟。
Let me be blunt. Too many countries are headed in the wrong direction.
这位负责人坚持说，如果不强制要求基本的疫情控制方法，如社交疏远、戴口罩或生病时待在家里，大流行就只会朝一个方向发展。
It's going to get worse and worse.
他发表上述言论之际，世界卫生组织周日又报告了24小时之内出现超过23万新病例的世界纪录，10个国家占总数的80%，一半以上的新确诊病例来自美国和巴西。
Countries.Are losing gains made as proven measures to reduce risk are not implemented or followed. We're seeing this across the Americas, South Asia, and several countries in Africa.
根据非洲疾病控制和预防中心的数据，南非占非洲确诊病例的多数，有近30万例，包括4000多人死亡。在住院人数激增之际，南非总统拉马福萨周日向全国发表讲话。
We are now recording well over 12,000 new cases every day. That is the equivalent of 500 new infections every hour of the day.
他恢复了一系列措施，包括禁止酒类销售，以尽量减少因酒精相关的伤害而住院。并下令实行夜间宵禁。南非总统还规定，所有居民在公共场合必须戴口罩。在美国，几个州正在终止重新开放的计划。在加州，州长加文纽森下令全州关闭酒吧和室内餐厅，并下令在受灾最严重的县关闭教堂、健身房和美发沙龙。
We're continuing to see hospitalizations rise in the state. We're continuing to see a modest increase in ICUs.And number of beds represented by ICU patients throughout the state of California, and we continue to experience an increase in the rate of positivity here in the state of California.
一位美甲沙龙老板说，新命令不会影响他，但会影响其他许多人。
If we don't make no money to pay the rent, the landlord suffers too. So everybody has a problem. Yeah, and also.We don't have income, and then the family, our family, the problem too.
世卫组织负责人本周谈到了这一点。
We need to reach a sustainable situation where we have adequate control of this virus without shutting down our lives entirely, or lurching from lockdown to lockdown, which has a hugely detrimental impact on societies.
迄今为止，各国采取的措施在不同程度上有成功也有失败。美国之音迪亚洛华盛顿报道。
新冠病毒大流行，美国公民及移民服务局推迟了入职仪式的举行。不过3个月以来，积压的案件堆积如山，迫使官员们发挥创意来解决。
对许多移民来说，由于可以在他们获得美国公民资格的这一天参加隆重的入籍仪式，因此格外令人难忘。今年成百上千的洛杉矶居民因为仪式被推迟而必须等待，但由于新冠疫情导致大量案件积压，现在所有的新公民根本不用下车就可以进行宣誓。马吉德在赢得绿卡抽签后，于2012年从伊朗来到美国。他说，适应新文化和学习语言并不容易，但这是值得的。8年之后，他自豪地宣誓成为美国的新公民。
The travel is surprising because I like to go. I'm like to go to LA because the over so many people coming is more exciting for me. I love exciting. I'm super happy now, but it's super easy. Just seeing you look like you want to go to order McDonald's something like that.
I was always, you know, dreaming or imagining I will be in a big stadium,
oh, man,
and you know,
yeah.
Well, president will greet us, you know. And, you know, it's going to be a big event for us. And I dressed, you see, nice. But that's still good because, you know, they don't delay it, postpone it.
将来入籍的公民需要开车到一个特别的停车场，把收音机调到播放美国总统讲话和美国国歌的某个频道。然后一个美国海关代表会问一些问题。接下来，新公民宣誓入籍，从头到尾都没有下车。
We're trying to create as memorable experience as we can with the situation that we've been given. So we hope that with our flags everywhere, streamers, the officers are really excited to see people. We hope that it's memorable, just in a little different way.
驾车通过的宣誓仪式在6月中旬左右开始，每天都有250多人在10分钟内完成仪式。
I understand because of the people's safety and my safety, I understand why it, you know, it changed this much. So I appreciate it. I appreciate the process, how quick it went. And I'm very grateful to finally be an American.
对这里的大多数人来说，无论这个仪式多么不寻常，它的结果都是一样的。他们都会得到一本蓝色的美国护照。美国之音达洛特，洛杉矶报道。
新冠病毒疫情依然在全美肆虐，剧院的制作人们想方设法和观众还有艺术们保持联系，并且让演员们不至于失业。
It was really heartbreaking. I knew people that were in the middle of production, or I think there were at least a couple shows I knew people that had just opened. They just got one night. Opening night was their closing night.
新冠病毒对戏剧界带来严重打击，随着美国各地的病例增加，许多百老汇的制作和地区剧院演出都推迟到2021年春天，可能会更久。
The American theaters, our audiences tend to be older, and so they fall into the high risk category. The theater won't come back until the audiences are ready to come back, and that may actually demand either a vaccine or some kind of therapy.
许多地区性的剧院，像旧金山湾区的，都是非盈利性质，营运预算相当紧张。他们正在发挥自己的独创性来贯彻“戏一定要演下去”的格言。
Because we are non-profit theaters, we are mission-driven. From our perspective, it's less about how many tickets we can sell, and much more about getting these stories out there, about creating these experiences for our audiences.
伊丽莎白·卡特正在制作现代版的《李尔王》，她选择妇女和有色人种演出传统的白人男性角色。她说，对她而言，取消演出绝不在她的考虑之内。
We have George Floyd and a resurgence in actually having conversations about race. So it feels really, really poignant right now.
卡特用自己的手提电脑给全体演员导戏，尽管并非全无挑战。
Everyone has stepped up. They all have green screens and light kits and all these things in their homes. We say we're building the ship as we're flying it.
主办一个大型戏剧节的吉姆·克莱曼把整个运作转移到 Zoom 去，称它为 Zoom 游乐场盛会。
It's still about sharing the energy of creating something that you're seeing as it's happening. If the actor misses a line.Or if a technical flub happens and the virtual background doesn't click on, that's just like when a light cue is missed or a sound cue is missed, and we still keep performing.
每个人都承认在线演出无法取代现场演出。
That live experience of being in a space, whether it's a concert or a play or a dance, we call it the collective breath. It's when everyone suddenly catches their breath at a moment because you're all seeing the same thing and you're all having that same experience. And there's just, you just can't synchronize that across Zoom.
希望这个新的制作平台可以为戏剧社区提供一条生命线，延续到大家能安全重聚的时候。美国之音迪安娜·米奇尔，加利福尼亚州奥克兰报道。
在美国，种族正义的讨论已经渗透到了生活的方方面面，一位纹身师也做出了改变。
佛蒙特州纹身店老板亚历山大·劳伦斯习惯于遵循客户的要求，遮盖带有种族主义色彩的纹身。但是乔治·弗洛伊德之死以及美国多地随之而来的抗议活动之后，这位纹身师说，类似的要求数量猛增。
All these people are like, oh man, I have this old tattoo that I'm not like that anymore, and I don't want people to think that I am, but here I am. You know, today's a different day and age than it was when I was growing up, and I'm not hateful, but this tattoo makes me look like I am. So now people are becoming more aware.
二十八岁的迪伦是他的客户之一。少不更事的时候，他纹身了一个大的纳粹符号。现在他后悔了，所以最近他刺上一个大头骨图形盖住了他。迪基马库姆也想消除他的纳粹纹身。他承认，多年来他曾一直笃信种族主义，但是在儿子出生之后，他意识到自己已经改变了。最近在美国的抗议活动，最终让他警醒。
When I was down there, I saw people walking around with their shirts off, with writing on their body instead of having, you know, holding signs. They were using their own body as a way to really project their point, and I couldn't do that.
在过去的几个月中，美国许多纹身店开始提供此类服务，其中很多是免费的。纹身师说，这是他们为反对种族主义和战胜无知所做的贡献。
A lot of people who are getting like the Confederate flags cut didn't get them for any kind of outwardly racist reason. It was just, you know, part of their Southern heritage, being, you know, in the growing up here and everything.
有些人从感情上受到了震撼和影响，在社交网络上分享他们的经历。
I still have shame for ever getting it. I still have shame for the people I've hurt in the past.With my words,
纹身店鼓励人们继续消除种族主义。除了免费提供纹身遮盖的服务外，他们还尝试并激励人们向旨在消除种族仇恨的基金会捐款。美国之音巴弗拉江华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。
Countries like China just really doubling down on their war on faith. And it's against everybody. It's against the Muslim Uyghurs, it's the Tibetan Buddhists, it's the Falun Gong, it's the Christian House Church, it's everybody.It's not just imprisoning people now, it's these virtual police states with lots of cameras and artificial intelligence systems and monitoring of people who go into mosques or churches. So it's this high-tech oppression that's starting to take root. And what we see is that if we can get this one right,